Okay. If you'll go to Book of Psalms today. Psalm 119. I want to share that on the topic of order my steps in thy word. And in Psalm 119, we'll start in verse 9. And we read, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. See, the interesting thing in those verses, the question is asked in verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And then in verse 11, it says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Pretty much saying the same thing. The order is very important here. The order is not that people clean up their lives first, which can be the order that religion tries to impose on people. You clean up your life first, and then you can spend time with God. God's word says the opposite. If you want to cleanse your way, you take heed according to the word. If you don't want to sin against him, then you hide his word in your heart. It's the exact opposite, as the world might have you believe. Right? So in order to be blessed and live a blessed life with God, we go to his word and God blesses us. It's not that we clean up our lives and stop this and stop that and stop doing this and all these kind of things. We go to the word first. Right? And in Psalm 119, we'll read verse 133, which says essentially the same truth, but in a little different way. In verse 133. Yep. Yeah, you can just, you can put yourself on mute, okay? Okay. Psalm 119, 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. It doesn't say, I really hope I can clean up my life and then I'll be able to walk according to your word. God says, order my steps. This is the psalmist here. Says, order my steps in thy word. So you walk according to God's word, and the result is that there's no iniquity will not have dominion over us. Right? This verse here, I thought about it. Order my steps in thy word. He's not telling God, order my steps in your word. Do this for me. That's how it reads. But what it literally means is, if we order our steps in his word, right, then the iniquity will not have dominion over us. It's not like God takes away your freedom of will. We're still the ones who have to order our steps according to God's word. And the result, iniquity will not have any dominion over us. Psalm 105, same chapter, we read, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Right? It's the word that gives us the direction. So if we're going to order our steps, remember the word order steps implies what? It implies walking, right? If we're going to walk, then we need to have a light to our path to know which way to go, and it's also the word. The word not only helps us to eliminate iniquity and problems like that, it also helps us and gives us direction in the order in which to walk. In verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The whole idea of feet, steps, path implies movement, right? It implies moving in a direction that is ordered by God's word, that is lit by God's word. In Jeremiah chapter 20. It's interesting. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It doesn't say necessarily books about your word. Right? I mean, great if books about God's word teaches God's word and lead, it's still the word that's a lamp onto our feet, right? The word. Know God's word. Yeah, certainly we read books about God's word and that's wonderful and all that, right? And also in terms of light, if I need a certain, if I'm, you know, and this happens a lot in life where you're in a certain direction, you need certain understanding in a certain area, maybe you're trying to go in a certain direction. Well, it's up to you and up to me how much light you want to let shed on your path. If I have a problem in an area of my life, then I probably want to shed a lot of light on that area. I need to find maybe 100 verses as opposed to one verse or whatever. How much ever light I need, how much ever direction I want to go in, it's up to me. That's how our steps are ordered in God's word. In Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7. It says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Now, if you read this whole chapter, you will see that Jeremiah didn't really have the easiest life, right, as a man of God. In fact, it's a very difficult life. And he was thrown in jail, thrown in dungeons, kept without food and water for a long time, constantly berated. No one listened to him, even though he constantly brought God's word to light to Israel. They wouldn't listen to him. They said they were going to listen to you. We'll do everything you say. And then he would bring the word of God and they would listen to him. And then they would just go about their own business and do what they were going to do anyway. People tried to kill him. People destroyed things that he had written and so forth. And then he got to a point in his life, verse 7, O Lord, thou hast deceived me and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and I hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, which means he's mocked. Everyone mocketh me. So he was being mocked for speaking God's word. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil. Because the word of the Lord, see, it's the word that was made a derision to him, sorry, a reproach unto him and a derision daily. It was the word that was causing him all this difficulty. It wasn't anything else. It was the word of God. He was speaking the word. And he realized, okay, here I am. I'm speaking the word and I'm getting a lot of junk thrown back at me, right? Verse 9, then I said, his decision, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Because that would certainly stop the problems, yeah? The problems that he was having. So he says, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire. That's what it means to have your steps ordered on God's word. Jeremiah so loved God's word. It was so much in his heart that he had to do, and not had to in a, that he's possessed, but that it was such a blessing to him. He had to do the word. That's how much the word meant to him. Because he says here, the word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I had to do, you know, and despite all his life being constantly threatened, being mocked, being derided, you know, daily, he still chose to do God's word. That's what it means to have your steps ordered on God's word. In other words, what you do daily, whether you're working, whether you're at home working, whether you're at school, whatever you're doing, we take our steps on God's word regardless of what happens. It's not that, that's not the issue. The issue is how much do I want to walk according to God's word? And I mean walk. I don't mean, you know, we stand there and shine a light around us. Aren't all these paths wonderful, right? Or we, you know, occasionally dust off the Bible. Say, this is my wonderful Bible that I have here. You dust it off. Walk according to God's word, making decisions according to God's word, doing what the word of God says. In James chapter 1. The number of times I've heard people say, yeah, I know that the word says this, but right, people always think that they know better, right? Well, you know, either it's God's word. Remember the God who created the heavens and the earth, the one who put all this together, put us here, right? Gave us purpose, that God, right? Either he knows how to live life or we do, right? You know, so if I ever make the statement, yeah, I know the word says this, but, right? Doesn't matter what the rest of the sentence is, does it? Right. What does the word say? Jeremiah could have said, no, I'm not going to do that. I've had enough. No, he said, it was in my heart. I could not stay. And the word didn't just get into Jeremiah's heart on its own, did it? Right? He wasn't born with the word of God written in his heart, right? Remember another place he says, "Thy words were found, I did eat them," right? He took the word of God and he ate it. He thought about it. He digested it. It's what gave him life. And as a result, when it came to situations, he just had to do the word because that was what was in his heart. It wasn't, "Well, I know what the word says, but..." Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God is constant. He is consistent. And he is the one that gives every good thing to man. "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness," that means we accept it, "the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." We receive the word, and not just receive it, not just look at it, shine lights all around us, but be ye doers, verse 22, "be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein," continue means to do, to walk according to it, "he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." See, to know God's word and not to do it is to deceive ourselves, right? And we can't. We're great. I know we are great at talking ourselves out of the word of God, right? I can find 100 excuses for you not to do the word of God. I can, right? Because I'm good at it, right? That's how we deceive our own self. We know what the word of God says. We know what it says, but we can find a way to say, "Well, in this situation of my life, because of this and because of that, because of this, I can't, it doesn't really apply to me." Ha! Right. Is it God's word or not? Is it God's word? You have to come to the point in your life and recognize it's either the word or it's my word, right? And that decision we make daily, right, in situations of our lives. It's up to me. Does the word say it? If it says it, well, that's the end of it, right? There's nothing else to talk about. There's nothing else to discuss. There's no other way around it, as much as I want to get around it, because then we deceive ourselves, right? That's what it says. And God says, if you want to be blessed, then continue in the word. Do what the word says, right? You know, that's what it says. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. This was some of the men came to Jesus Christ, and we won't read all of it, but just verse 38, "And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not." Verse 39, he was talking to these men, "has searched the scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life." You see, they were the ones saying, you know, we look in the word of God, we search the scriptures, we know what it says, and yet he says, "Yeah, but the scriptures testify of me, and you don't come to me that you might have life." Right? They weren't doing the word. Right? They weren't doers of the word. They were looking at it. You know, and for us today, to be very, very precise, the word of God directed to you and me today is that word that is related to all that Jesus Christ has done. Right? That's the word that we're to believe today. It's what has Jesus Christ done for us. Right? There are a lot of things in the word that talk about Jesus Christ. And so when we search the scriptures, specifically, the word that's addressed to us relates to all that Jesus Christ has done. And that's what we're to walk on. In Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. But those guys there he was talking to certainly didn't do that, and They got the end result of what they were trying to do. Galatians 5, 25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, or since we live in the Spirit, we're born again, let us also walk in the Spirit. Right? It's not just a matter of living there and knowing it. It's a matter of walking in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, one book ahead. And again, this is repeated multiple times in the New Testament. Just looking at a few verses where it says it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. It's not a matter of knowing, right? It's a matter of walking. Not a matter of just hearing, but a matter of doing. It's not a matter of just having the lamp. It's a matter of actually walking down that path. It's not a matter of just thinking about it. It's a matter of ordering our steps in God's Word, ordering our steps down that Word. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll close in Ephesians. It says in Proverbs, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Keep. Not just knowing it, but to keep the commandments. You see, if I know something is true in God's Word and I don't do it, well, I'm not exactly walking, you know. If it says, you know, Advij was talking about prayer before fellowship. If I know that instead of being anxious, I ought to pray, you know, that situation she was in an accident, I think we can pretty much understand that could be a situation where you could be filled with tremendous anxiety. Yeah? Well, what God's Word says, instead of being anxious, pray. You know, and she said she had that thought to just calm down. And well, that's God. That's walking on God's Word. That's using the Word in our day-by-day situations. If she had said, well, I know it says that, but in this situation, it's not going to work. Well, then she would have deceived her own self, right? And just like us, if we come across situations, right? In Ephesians chapter 6, the great section, in chapter 5, 21, it talks to everybody. And 23 talks to husbands, and that section later talks to wives. And then it goes on down through the last part of the chapter to chapter 6, verse 1, it talks to children. Then it talks to children in response to their fathers. Then it talks to fathers in response to their children. And then it talks to people who have jobs. Then it talks to people who employ others. I think we've covered the whole area of life, right? That's what God, that whole section there in Ephesians, God addresses the things that people do in life. And then in chapter 6, verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Right? After this, you know, remember, keep things in context. The context here, he deals with all these situations in life. And then he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Right? What would be the best way for a husband to take care of his wife? Right? I think it would probably be to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Right? What would be the best way for a woman to respond to her husband? Right? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Husbands to wives, wives to husbands, children to parents, parents to children, employers to employees, employees, employees to employers. Right? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Well, how do you do that? Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Right? So God says, put on the whole armor of God. Well, is it physical armor? Do we go ahead and... No, it's not armor you buy. Right? So God doesn't leave us without direction. Right? Remember, he gives direction. So to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, we're to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Make no mistake about it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You cannot deal with that wickedness on your own, right? You can't. You know, we're talking about being doers of God's Word. Just knowing it isn't enough. We have to act on what the Word of God says. You can't deal with these dudes that verse 12 is talking about on your own. You only deal with these by being strong in the Lord. And again, God repeats in verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So twice God says, in order to deal with the wiles of the devil, to stand, to be strong in the Lord, you're to put on the whole armor of God. To put on the armor of God. Well, and then God talks about the armor. Right? Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So he's going to talk about the armor now. Your loins, the part from where reproductive area of life, where the core strength, you know, all the athletes are always talking about improving your core, right? Isn't that what they always talk about? You got to get your core improved, right? If you want to do anything, if you want to have a nice, you know, drive in golf, you got to have your core. It's your core that's involved, right? If you want to throw a football, right, it's the core that's involved, right? That twisting motion, it comes from that loins area. God says, if you want to do anything in terms of the armor, have that area girt about with what? Truth. What's truth? Thy word is true. Right? So God says the first part of the armor that he wants us to put on is the word, right? Around our loins, that the part where life starts from, and that is the core of our strength. The core of our strength will be the word of God. Right? That's what he says. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Word of God says, all thy commandments are righteousness. That's what it says. Where do you learn about what is God's word is righteousness. All his commandments are righteousness. Right? The breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So the armor you're supposed to put on your loins is the word. The armor on your breastplate is the word. Right? The armor on your feet is the word. Right, the gospel. Gospel, he uses the different words, but, and your feet shod. That means your feet, what do your feet do? They take you places, don't they? Right. So wherever you go, what is it that comes out of your mouth? Gospel of peace. Right. And that doesn't mean we quote scriptures at work. Right. It doesn't mean that. It means that whatever you do, the decision you might, it means the decisions you make, the things, the way you deal with people, the way you talk to one another, the way you talk to people who don't even know God's word is according to the word of God that you know. It's the most important thing that you will ever know is the word in your life. There's nothing else you can give to somebody that will help them more than the word. It's not possible, right? Your gospel of peace. It's, you know, and that means walking on the gospel. It's not enough for me to know, oh yeah, the word of God says I should tithe. It's not enough for me to know that if I don't tithe, right? It's not enough for me that the word of God says I should pray if I don't pray. It's not enough for me to know that I should, the word of God says I ought to speak the word if I don't speak the word. Right? And again, I can come up with 100 reasons not to do any of those things, and I can justify them to myself because in my situation, this is the situation. I can do it. I can do it every day. We're masters at it. We're masters at deceiving ourselves and not doing what the word of God says. We are. Right? Well, your choice. Verse 16, above all, and my choice, taking the shield of believing, right? The right way of believing. How do you learn to believe God, right? How do you get believing in your life? Believing comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God, right? Hearing the word of God. So if you're going to have a shield of faith, you've got to have the word of God. There's a bit of a pattern here, isn't there, in the armor of God? Do you see the pattern? It's pretty simple. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which by the way, is the word of God. Right? So all your defensive weapons are the word, and the offensive weapon is the word. Right? See, God can say it 100 different ways, but it's really simple. We need to know God's word. Not only know it, not only dust it off occasionally, but walk according to it. We deal with people according to it. We make decisions by it. We think God's word. We don't talk ourselves out of God's word and deceive our own selves. We walk on that word. When Jesus Christ was in the garden, what was the weapon? What was the armor that he used in order to back down the adversary? Right? The word of God. It is written. He spoke God's word right in the face of the adversary, right? His word, his steps were ordered by the word. Right? He didn't just say, yeah, I'm hungry, I want to eat, or yeah, I can jump off this temple, or yeah, I'd love to have all the rule of all the kingdoms of the world. He didn't go down that road. He said in his mind, he went back to what does the word of God say, and that is what he walked according to. Order my steps according to your word. Doesn't mean just sitting around thinking about it, and occasionally it means to actually walk. Because we've been called with a vocation, we've been called to walk, right? We have at our disposal, at our fingertips, the greatest blessing we can bring to people, the Word of God. But on the other side of it, we also need to be aware that it's the Word of God that protects us from the wiles of the adversary, from all those, you know, principalities, powers that would rack and ruin your life if we don't have the Word of God in our heart, right? Because certainly if I'm not staying in the Word of God, I am going to be deceived. Right? I've already deceived myself by not doing the word. Guess what's going to happen after that? Right? Even greater deception. Right? So order my steps. Yeah, it's a great prayer, but what it means is that we walk. We take the opportunity. We say, what does the word say? We find that word. If we don't know what it is, we ask somebody to help us. Find out what the word of God says, particularly in an area, and then we take our steps according to that. That is ordering our steps, our walk, our path on God's word. Right? And the armor, God is very clear. I mean, the armor is the word, the word, the word, and things that we've learned from the word. It's the word. Right? So order my steps according to your word. That's it.